You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
In the morning, you're on Wake Up Tucson.
Look who's back. It's Chris DeSimone. Back from the top of the mountain. Here he is.
It's been a long week on this damn show for me.
Yeah, 2 hours.
2 hours.
Yeah.
Wise guy. You know the pipes. The pipes are good right now. Welcome back. 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Before we get to Drew Sexton from the NRCC, bottom of the hour, we got Brandon Lyons running for state that's short for legislature, of course.
Okay.
So our good friend Adrian, who runs Treasures for Teachers, they're up in Marana, and basically she's tied in all of these teachers and administrators, and she says, hey, these kids need this. And so she hit me about a week and a half ago and said, hey, we need help. We're running out of the basics, pens, even with online for some of these kids, they still got to figure stuff out on pen and paper before they put in their magic answer on their laptop or whatever they're doing. So
As of yesterday afternoon, there were like 2,500 teachers had signed up for this or something like that.
Yeah.
There is definitely a need. These days, the teachers have to bring the stuff for the kids themselves, and they're asking for a little help.
So Ed Ackerley and the Tucson business owner folks decided they wanted to jump in and help. And then Heath, who owns Sparkle Cleaners, because he has so many locations around town, he jumped in. And then our listener, Pat, volunteered to drop off all of the boxes at all of the different Sparkle Cleaner locations.
Sweet.
So I need you to do is to help out Treasures for Teachers. I need you to go to any Sparkle Cleaner location in town and drop off. This is basics, kids. These are literally pencils, papers, sandwich bags. They make these little packs for the kids. And so any Sparkle Cleaners in town, we're going to do this for the through the end of the month of August. And Ackerley just sent me a picture of a guy who he actually put it on, his social media. He's the coach of the Sonoran Signwinders. I don't even know what that is, but God bless him. And he took a picture of himself dropping a donation off at Sparkle Cleaners to support Treasure for Teachers.
Excellent.
All right, let's go right to the phones. Let's go to Drew Sexton from the NRCC. Drew, welcome to the show, sir. How are you?
Chris, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. Good to be speaking with you this morning. And I did just want to clarify, I'm with the Arizona Trump victory team.
I apologize.
With the RNC and the president's campaign, I don't want the NRCC folks to get upset at me. So just want to clarify.
Well, rumors are you're on the same team, so that's all.
Yes, sir.
Drew, here you are. You're in a very unimportant election in a very unimportant state. I say that all sarcastically, of course. Describe the battleground that is Arizona for not just the president, but also, of course, Senate and other things.
Sure. Well, we continue to believe this is a red state. Arizona has been a red state for a long time. And President Trump has a unique connection with this state. It was in July 2015 when he made, kind of one of his first big major rally, after he announced he was running for president, was in Phoenix. And so he's always had a strong connection with this state, whether it's bringing jobs back, whether it's securing the border, getting better trade deals with the USMCA agreement. But Arizona is critically important. We know that it's a huge part of the pathway. It's 11 electoral votes. Getting to 270, this is the way to do it for President Trump. But as you mentioned, there are critical races up and down the ballot, whether it's Senator Martha McSally making sure Republicans keep control of the Senate, our congressional delegation making sure the Republicans are working to take back the House. We've got CD1 that covers part of Tucson, CD2 as well. So we're working, as a team, and that's really what Trump victory is trying to do. It starts at the top of the ballot with President Trump, but our ground game, working with candidates up and down the ballot, we truly believe that the grassroots operation, working with our enthusiastic, energetic supporters of the president, that's how we're going to get across the finish line in November.
I feel, it sounds cute, right? Ooh, you're like, hey, we're in a battleground state. We count, Arizona really is important. But there's parts of time, Drew, that I malign it because in relation to what's going on in the politics of COVID, I feel like Arizona is held up as one of those ones that's just beaten upon nationally. because we are so important as that for all those races you just explained.
Yeah, absolutely. And the truth is that the Democrats have been trying to buy this state for a long time. We've seen folks like Tom Steyer and Mike Bloomberg pour millions and millions of dollars into the state trying to flip it. But we know that the election is going to be decided by Arizonans that are speaking with other Arizonans. It's not going to be some of these outside progressive groups that are trying to come in last second, shipping people in from California, New York. That's why we're putting such an emphasis on the ground game. We've got over 80 staff across the state, more than a dozen in the Pima County area. We've made millions of voter contacts already this cycle. Even with the, as you mentioned, the pandemic, you know, obviously having an impact in Arizona, we were able to transition to an all virtual campaign back in mid-March, and we were able to make millions of phone calls to voters talking about what the president has done to make sure Arizona has enough resources to get through this pandemic, as well as getting those PPP funds to small businesses. I know there are a lot of businesses down in Pima County and Tucson that were able to kind of get through this because of those funds. So having those conversations with people from Arizona to Arizona, again, we believe that's the foundational aspect of the entire campaign. That's why we're going to be successful.
Now, I know that Arizona is going to have some, you know, it's always a wonderful time for propositions. I know recreational marijuana is going to be back on the ballot again this year. How do some of those things play in relation to driving maybe more D voters? And how do you kind of, you know, how does that play into what you're trying to achieve in Arizona?
Sure. Well, I mean, as you mentioned, there are a few different initiatives, whether it's marijuana legalization. I know there's an education effort. And I think, you know, some of those especially are going through kind of a legal process. There are some challenges. But there's going to be a lot of different factors that affect turnout. Obviously, things, you know, with the pandemic here, making sure that there are, you know, safe and secure elections, all those things are going to impact turnout. But we've already seen, especially with ballots coming in just for this primary election on next Tuesday, enthusiasm is high, especially for Republicans. We're fired up to get President Trump reelected. You know, I think we've learned some of the lessons from 2018 about how important it is to be on the ground early and often. And we've been on the ground since 2016. We haven't stopped. And this is certainly a strong, strong operation, especially compared to, you know, the Democrat operation with Joe Biden's staff. They're just bringing people on board right now. You know, we've been here all cycle. But there are going to be a lot of the different things that impact, you know, the election, including these initiatives, including, you know, the different types of mail. But for us, you know, we believe when we're out in our community safely and responsibly sharing the president's message, bringing the economy back, getting our schools reopened safely, looking at his track record of promises made, promises kept, that's an unbeatable message. That message is going to be the most influential part of the campaign. So we believe if we can get that out to folks, we're going to be in good shape.
Well, and the Democrats are helping you out by putting up Joe Biden, so that's a good thing.
It doesn't hurt. Yeah, you know, I think it was last week he did a interview with in Phoenix and referred to Arizona as a city. So I don't really think he knows what's going on here, and people can tell that. You know, Arizona's we're a unique breed. We've always had an independent streak, and I think that's why we have such an appreciation for President Trump. He tells it like it is, and that's going to be an impact. I think everybody understands that Joe Biden, you know, the left is trying to keep him in the basement because they want to be in control of things.
So there's two commercials I see you guys running now that one people that have been on this show, of course, the Rivas family from Sammy B's Mexican Grill is now part of a national ad campaign, right? Those folks?
Yes, sir. Yeah, Jorge and Betty Rivas, they have been fantastic supporters of President Trump. I've gotten to know them over this campaign cycle. They've been kind enough to open up Sammy's Mexican Grill for multiple what we call MAGA meetups, where we gather supporters of the president to get organized, to recruit volunteers. We've done voter registration drives there. They as entrepreneurs and small business owners, they're supportive of the president and sharing their message and, you know, their ability to speak to the Latino community and say, look, President Trump, he's a straight shooter. And we have been able to succeed because of the pro-business policies he's implemented. That's an important message, and we know we're going to compete for the Latino vote here in Arizona. We're going to be opening up offices, you know, in a few different locations in the state that are specifically geared toward community engagement within the Latino community. So, again, it's about being in these communities, having these conversations, And I think that will be play a huge role in Arizona.
Now, Drew, our first interview together? Can I hold you on for one more segment, please?
Sure, absolutely.
Awesome. It works with your schedule. You're okay?
Yes, sir.
So let's do this. We're going to bring back Drew Sexton. He is the head of the Arizona Trump Victory Campaign. If you have a question or comment, 790-2040. Brendan Lyons running for state legislature as a Republican coming up at the bottom of the hour. Wake up.
The dog days are just, it's the 31st of July, close enough. You know what I mean?
8:21 in the morning, you're on the Wake Up Tucson show. Ed Alexander, Christy Simone, this hour, Wake Up, brought to you by our good friends at Central Arizona Block, CabcoAZ.com. Masonry products made here in Tucson and sold directly to the public. Let's go back to the Ed Alexander live line. Drew Sexton, he is the head of the Trump Victory Campaign for Arizona. Drew, welcome back.
Thank you, sir. Great to spend the morning with you.
All right, let's go to the phones. You never know what we're going to get on the phones. 790-2040, especially when the guy's name is Wild Bill. Wild Bill, you're on with Drew Sexton. What's up?
Hey, allow me to be the skunk at the garden party here for a second.
You're usually the skunk at the garden party, but keep going.
You have a very weak senatorial candidate in Arizona, which, in my opinion, is a direct result of President Trump's pardoning of Joe Arpaio. Why didn't anybody in the Republican Party in Arizona caution the president and say, listen, this guy's a loose cannon, and frankly, you need to hold that pardon back until after the 2018 August primary? Because it freed Arpaio to get in that race and bump off the strongest candidate for the Senate, which was Kelly Ward.
So what's the question here, buddy? Just nail it down to the question.
Why isn't the Republican Party in Arizona working smarter, not harder?
Well, there's a lot of meat on that bone, Drew. How would you like to answer that?
Yeah, I got to tell you, Wild Bill, I think that's probably a little bit above my pay. You know, at the end of the day, we're prepared. We are confident. Not only President Trump at the top of the ballot, but the Republicans that get through this primary on Tuesday, we're going to be competing everywhere. That's something that's important to us at every race. And I think especially, you know, over the past cycle or two, you've seen, even elections at the school board level are just as important. They have just as big of an impact. And our goal with Trump Victory is not to select candidates or, you know, provide strategic advice for us. It's about recruiting, training our volunteers, making sure that folks on the ground that are enthusiastic supporters of the president and other Republicans are able to go out and share that message. So ultimately, we're very confident, not only in President Trump, Senator McSally, but we believe that, you know, for every Republican candidate down the ballot, we have the ability to be successful.
All right, Bill, I got to go. That definitely was outside of his pay range, but I know where you're going with it, but we'll have that conversation, you and I, again another day. 790-2040, we're talking to Drew Sexton, Arizona Trump Victory Team. Give me the top three issues that you feel are winners right now in Arizona for the president, because we know we're hitting hard, as he should, on public safety. I saw the commercial with the nice senior lady sitting in her house while someone's breaking in. I think that's very powerful. But what are the top three or four issues you feel play well for President Trump?
Well, I think you're absolutely right there. The message of law and order, creating safe neighborhoods. On the left, you have a movement to defund the police, and you're seeing some of that down in Tucson as well. And folks do not want that. Folks want safe neighborhoods. They want to be able to raise their family and know that there's law enforcement that's funded to help them push back against some of the anarchy you're seeing on the left. So absolutely, that will be something we're talking about. I think really as a whole for Arizona, we're such a good example of, you know, President Trump's track record of promises made, promises kept. He said he was going to reignite the American economy, and that's what he did. Arizona was one of the best states in the country for job growth. He said that he was going to secure the border. You know, the president was recently in Yuma celebrating the 200th mile of the border wall being built. Illegal border crossings are down 80% from April 2019 to April 2020. And again, renegotiating trade deals. You know, Mexico is Arizona's largest trading partner, but we needed to get a better deal. The president did that with the USMCA ratification. So, you know, I think, again, you know, hammering away at the economy, talking about the need to support our police. And in fact, the Arizona Police Association just came out yesterday and formally endorsed President Trump. So I think that sends a big message to voters across the state that there's one candidate that is going to work well with law enforcement to keep our neighborhoods safe.
All right. One more question before we run out of time. This is a biggie, though. All mail-in balloting. We know the president had a couple of statements about it. Freaked out the Democrats with, you know, maybe postponing an election, which I don't think he wanted. I don't want it. But anyway, he freaked them out. But talk about a lot of Trump voters are worried about all mail-in balloting. What are you guys doing? What is the RNC doing from your side to make sure that this is a straight and fair election coming up in November?
Well, you know, the RNC and the president's campaign have invested, I believe, up to $20 million in making sure that, you know, Democrats are not playing any funny games with these ballots, with our elections. It's incredibly important that we have integrity within our election system. And Arizona is a little bit unique. You know, we do have the permanent early voting list. And the president has said multiple times, he tweeted it yesterday, you know, absentee voting, he's okay with that. He's good with that. It's his universal mail-in voting system where everybody just gets a ballot, which is not good, which we're against. And we saw that in Maricopa County. Adrian Fontes tried to do that during the presidential primary election. We're absolutely opposed to that. But you know, at the same time, we do have in the state of Arizona some different guidelines, whether it's a signature verification process, whether it's a separate ballot with a barcode where you can actually track your ballot to make sure it gets in and is received. So I think there are a couple of different things that are unique about Arizona there. But again, for us, we want to make sure that everybody feels that they have the right to vote, that they're able to, whether it's participating by mail, or whether it's going to the polls on election day. We just need folks to get out and vote.
All right. I lied to you. I got one more question for you before we run out of time. Tell me what, to make Arizona happen for the president, what are the areas of concern that you feel are kind of areas of Arizona you feel are toss-ups that you guys need to make sure he wins?
Well, you know, I think, again, speaking with you this morning in Tucson, you know, Pima County makes up about 15% of the vote, and that's traditionally a place where you know, Tucson, I think, is kind of considered a little bit of a more Democratic stronghold, but we want to play there. And we, you know, we saw the voters of Tucson last year overwhelmingly rejected sanctuary cities. We know that there are folks that want a secure border. We know that there are people that want to support law enforcement that are against this radical idea of defunding the police. So we think we can make inroads in Pima County. Of course, Maricopa makes up about 60% of the statewide vote. That's going to be really the battleground area. But we feel like we're in good shape. Like I said, you know, 80 staff on the ground. We've made millions of voter contacts. We have a huge head start and advantage when it comes to infrastructure over Joe Biden's campaign. So we just need to execute, and we believe we've got the right messaging to again, be successful in November.
All right. And what's a website people should go to help you guys out if they want to?
Absolutely. So if you go to TrumpVictory.com, that you can click on the state of Arizona. You'll see all of the phone bangs, the door knocking, the MAGA meetups, the Trump Victory Leadership Initiative training programs where we'll teach you how to register voters. We'll teach you how to use our campaign sidekick app where you can make phone calls in support of the president. So I would encourage everybody, go there, TrumpVictory.com. You can click on Arizona, see all the different events we have coming up, because we need your help. We need you on the ground. The president's supporters are the most important part of this entire thing.
All right, Drew, we're running out of time. Thanks for everything, man. We'll talk to you soon. All right. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. It's been a long week for me. It started at about 2.5 hours ago, and then I'll be done. Ed, what's on Monday before we get to young Brendan Lyons here talking
about lots of good stuff. We've got Grover Norquist, American tax reform. Always good talk with him.
Yep.
Steve McEwen, talking about redistricting, and that's going to be coming up real quick, the germ ending and
next
all that.
Next year, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And Ken LaCourte, Media Action Network.
I forget what Ken's talking about again, but it'll come back to me before it's old. I think it's the whole hydroxy is what's going on.
Let's talk about that. Thank
so
you.
Grover Norquist from Americans for Tax Reform should be quite – he's a little spicy lately, so he'll be on Monday. If you miss anything, go to KVOI.com. Good morning to Brendan Lyons. He's running for state legislature. How are you doing?
Good morning, Chris. Thank you so very much for having me. I'm appreciative to speak to you and your audience.
Tell me about what LD are you running for again?
I'm running for LD9, which the baseline of that, it runs from the southern base. It runs from Speedway between Craycroft and Campbell, runs northeast to Sabino Canyon, all the way across the foothills to I-10.
Look at that. So that's Pliskin Acres and everything in there. Look at you. So when did you make this decision that you wanted to run for legislature?
You know, I've been grooming this idea for quite some time, building relationships up at the state capitol. I was a former firefighter. I championed Arizona's distracted driving law. That was a result of, in 2013, was struck from behind by a distracted motorist at 45 miles an hour while cycling on my day off. I was also struck with my fiance, who's a nurse practitioner, shattered her wrist and said, you know what, people are losing their lives at the hands of negligent motorists. And so year after year, worked with lawmakers to try to champion this. The state failed to act in 2013, 14, and 15. Then I started working with local jurisdictions, Pima County, City of Tucson, Oro Valley, as well as 15 other jurisdictions as far north as Yavapai County and as far south as the city of Nogales. Then finally, in 2019, Governor Ducey and the Arizona legislature passed my bill. A month later, in May of 2019, I graduated from the U of A with a master's in public administration, focusing in collaborative governance. So you know what? Given the successes that I've had, I've taken action and want to champion and be a voice for Southern Arizona. So let's leverage those relationships and let's get some things done.
What's your occupation? What do you do for a living?
So I'm a non-paid executive director of a nonprofit called Look Save a Life. Right now, I'm not taking an income, focusing full-time on this candidacy. That's how serious I'm taking this.
So when you get your MPA from the U of A, Master's in Public Administration, well, and now that you've kind of see how the sausage is made a little bit, give me one or two good lessons you think you've learned so far in relation to what the U of A taught you and how it worked in reality.
Well, once again, relationships matter. And in order to get things done, you need to be collaborative. You need to negotiate. And even in the distracted driving bill that was passed, I wasn't 100% satisfied with it. There was a lot of things that I would like to see part of it. But as you said, the sausage gets made. And this is where you get stakeholders together. You get people who are supportive of this, people who are anti this. And let's come together and let's try to find some common ground and let's move the needle forward. So that's the biggest lesson and takeaway. And really, try not to define others before they have an opportunity to define themselves. It's easy to label somebody based upon either party affiliation or what have you, but until you are able to sit down at a table together and you can try to work together to move the needle.
What's an example of somewhere where you see one group labeling the other before they get to collaborate that you felt was negative and not fruitful?
Well, I think currently in this environment, the Black Lives Matter and law enforcement. You know, there's a movement right now. Thankfully, our city of Tucson voted to fund our police, but there was a narrative that police are terrible individuals on our roads. But at the same time, we can sit down at a table and talk about the systemic issues in society, such as potential racisms or what have you. But at the same time, sit down and support those and protect those who protect us. I believe we want safe communities and things like that. And for those reasons, I support our law enforcement.
So you've been very involved with, are you a young professional like young Zachary?
Like young Zachary, I really admire him. I think he's doing great things in this community. I'm part of Tucson Young Professionals. I'm part of the Emerging Leaders Council with the Tucson Metro Chamber. I serve on the board of directors for Greater Tucson Leadership. I'm an honorary commander at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base, assigned to the 25th Operational Weather Squadron, super heavily involved in our community. And, you know, part of... what I appreciate about you most is that you encourage people to get out there and be active in their community, and I'm doing just that.
Tell me about this Emerging Leaders Council. What does that actually do? Because I know a couple of people in it. I just don't know what you actually do. I'm fascinated.
Absolutely. Thank you.
It sounds so cool.
Yeah, well, it does have a nice title to it, but at the end of the day, you learn about the issues. It is associated with the Tucson Metro Chamber. You hear about the issues that are taking place in our communities. We bring in a guest speaker that, whether it's Rio Nuevo, whether it's somebody to talk about fixing our roads, developing our economy, talking about education, schools. But then at the same time, you're paired with a mentor in the community that is able to help, you know, advocate for different issues. And
who's your mentor?
Ted Maxwell.
That's a good one. There's, of all the people you could have had, Ted's a pretty good one. So this is my thing. I've had this discussion with Zachary when he first was coming on after me. We did a crossover segment together, and my thing is that I see that the Tucson, not just this is, I don't want to TYP it. I just want to talk about the young business class in this town.
Okay.
What I see is that there's an amazing array of talent in viewpoints. But no one really wants to stand up and change anything. What I see is a lot of, let's have lots of coffees and collaborative discussions, and we say cool words like pivots and crap. Okay. Tell me, I want you, as a guy who's knee-deep in this, because you just said you're an ELC guy, you're a TYP guy. I mean, you got every acronym known to man flying out of you right now. Tell me, give me hope for those, because I don't see it. Right. What I see is a lot of young professionals kissing the ass of power. Sorry, so they get hugged at the next chamber lunch. So break that from me. Remember, your election's in November, so this is not the last time we're going to talk.
No, absolutely not. And thank you for asking that. But I do believe that there's a great number of people, young professionals, who are shaping Southern Arizona's future for really great things. And frankly, that's why I'm running for office.
Help me out, bro. Hold on. Don't go running for office. Tell me about, the question is, Tucson, any young people in these groups, give me some hope, because you said they're shaping the future.
Right.
And then you started talking. So stay on shaping the future. Please give me credible stuff that any young professional involved in any of these groups is doing to shape the future, because you guys are great at meetings.
Right.
Meetings are badass.
Sure.
Okay.
Well, one is Zach Yenser, who, with his show, talking about the issues, being engaged in the community, looking at economic growth, part of BFL Ventures, looking at economic growth in our community. Another guy, Brian Schachter, is doing great things. He's with Trademark Properties and or Watermark Properties, forgive me, and looking at our vulnerable population, making sure that the infrastructure is in place for retirement and so forth. So, I mean, those are a couple individuals. Nick Morin is another example. There's numerous people who are doing, very engaged in the community, and, you know, and simply put, just like
you almost got me sold. Now, the other thing I was going to ask you, too, was, and I love Zach. Zach's the man. So before we go to break, we'll talk. I want to talk about state legislature stuff when we come back. So you're friends with JP, right?
Yes.
All right.
Juan Padres, yeah.
So Juan's a ELC guy, or at least a charter member of that, running for office, mm-hmm. and the chamber doesn't endorse him. And they endorse someone who's been there since 1988.
Right.
Well, how does that make you feel as a young professional that a guy, you know JP's resume,
yes,
right?
Right?
Business owner. City of Tucson, economic development, went to go work for Too Simple, right, doing autonomous trucks.
Right.
And he's running for office, and that business guy can't get the love of the business community. How does that make you feel?
You know, it's interesting. Well, first of all, as a candidate trying to earn the endorsement, which I did earn the endorsement of the Tucson Metro Chamber, it is a pretty rigorous process, and I won't speak for the board, but
filling out a Robert Medler survey is not a rigorous process, but
going. But sitting through a myriad of questions from a board who is going to endorse you, it's much more than Mr. Medler. I won't speak for them, but I've gone through that process.
I'm not asking you to speak for them. I'm saying for you, as a guy who's knee-deep in the Emerging Leaders Council, who's running for office yourself, you know JP. Mm-hmm. He's a great guy. How does that – I'm not asking you to even say – it's a wrong. How does it make you feel as a human being who's in his same shoes trying to fix this place? That's what I'm asking.
Looking at that, I've had numerous questionnaires and gone through endorsement processes from the Arizona Chamber, from other organizations, which I felt that I should have earned that endorsement.
Right.
There's a myriad of things that they look at, not just how you respond to questions, not just your involvement in the community, but is this individual a viable candidate? Is this individual going to be able to get the votes necessary? Otherwise, are we going to end up biting the hand that feeds us, so to speak? So again, that's an example. I don't know why the chamber decided to endorse the way they endorsed. So again, I won't speak to that, but I've had some very frustrating, in my own race, very frustrating things that I didn't earn an endorsement, which I very felt that I was fitted for.
We almost got an answer out of him. 8:45 in the morning, Christy Simone, Brendan Lyons. What is your Lyons number 4 AZ, right?
Yes, please get out and vote. Lyons, the number 4AZ.com. And
traditional Lyons, or clean?
Lyons with a Y, thank you.
Lyons with a Y, thank you very much.
Is that traditional, or are you running traditional or clean elections?
Thank you very much for asking that. I am running traditional.
Okay, awesome. All right, so we'll come back. I promise I'll be nicer to him, and we'll talk about the state legislature run when we come back. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice.
Wake up, Tucson.
I do appreciate Mr. Lyons did cut a $100 check for Treasures for Teachers. We do appreciate
Thank
that
you,
in school drive. We do appreciate that. Thank you. And I apologize that I beat up on you so bad.
I just tried about, to get to just to get to the
I told
to,
them whenever the I get stuff. A young professional yeah. person, it's like they're the future.
Come on.
They're yeah. the ones I need to step up and make it happen, and he is doing it by running for office, so I do appreciate that. So Brendan Lyons, welcome back.
Thank you so much. And frankly, if that's being beat up on, then I should not be running for office. So I'm all in on this. Let's go.
Well, good. I'll beat you up some more then. So what do you feel like top two or three issues that if you get into the legislature, hopefully the Republicans maintain a majority here too, because right. that's also an issue. We just had this discussion with Drew from the Trump Victory Fund before you. Is what do you want to get done? What's two or three things you want to jump
Absolutely.
On?
Absolutely. I want to protect those who protect us, and that goes out to our public safety. As a former firefighter, I deeply, deeply care about these issues. We previously mentioned about the defund movement for our law enforcement. There's cancer in the fire service, very big issue. I want to see a quality education, making sure that there's accountability measures, that parents do have a choice of where to send their son or daughter. I don't believe that education is a one-size-fits-all for public education. There's different needs for that. I want to see us grow back our economy, get people back working again. Those are two or three issues that I deeply care about wanting to address.
So when we talk about education, right, because it's always this weird thing. So if you talk to anyone who's a Republican in the state legislature, we've had this argument for years, right?
Right.
You take all the money that a school gets, right, and you divide it by the amount of students,
right.
They'll say it's $9,000 to $10,000 a kid, right? But if you talk to a Democrat, they'll say, well, we just take this part that the state does, and that's $4,800, which were the worst funded state in America, or
right.
one of them.
Right.
So where are you at in relation to funding of schools, right? Do you feel like we are there's enough money being funded per child, and then how are we delivering on those promises of that money in a way?
Well, I think, and now we're going into a different environment, and so we didn't have the pre-$1 billion surplus that we had prior to COVID. But given that environment, I would like to see, this comes down to two things, leadership and priority. And I believe that the funding is there if you make education a priority. So that's one way to fund it. It comes back to priorities and growing jobs in the economy, public safety and education. That's what I'd like to see accomplished.
So when we talk about, so my big thing is that the school boards get no what happens is they seem to get absolved of the responsibility. It's always on the state legislature on why there's not so great education outcomes.
Sure, right.
So how do you fix that in a way?
Well, again, this comes down to stakeholder meetings and making sure that everyone's at the table, from the school boards to the legislators, policymakers, and even parents and advocates. Get everybody together. Let's have these conversations and hash it out. Like I said before, I didn't get everything I wanted in the distracted driving bill, but we were able to move the needle forward. And that's what I would like to see for education and my priorities.
So when you say supporting public safety from the state legislature side,
right.
What does that specifically mean?
Making sure that that policies are in place, that funding mechanisms are available, that local control doesn't mitigate or impede public safety.
So that was all amazing power phrases, but what does that specifically mean? What would you do? Are we funding them enough? Are there laws that need to be passed to protect police? What would you do?
Thank you very much. So cancer was a very big issue. Many of my former colleagues have come down with cancer in the fire service. There was a bill presented, and it almost made it through, but because of COVID, it didn't get to go and cross the finish line.
Right.
But cancer in the fire service, we've got jurisdictions, local jurisdictions around the state of Arizona, who are denying firefighters cancer coverage, healthcare coverage, because that individual wasn't able to prove which incident he received that cancer from. That needs to stop.
So what are the firefighters saying there? Is there a higher prevalency of cancer in firefighters?
Absolutely, at 100%. For public safety at a state level, from cancer, very high prevalency of cancer, firefighters coming down with cancer over their career. It's studies are being shown right now between Tucson Fire and the University of Arizona that your chances of getting cancer over the course of your career are much higher than anybody else in society, in a profession. The other thing I'd like to address as regards to public safety is that first responders have the highest suicide is outpacing the line of first responder death. I want to focus more on mental health issues for our police and fire as well.
Let's talk about one of my favorites. Let's go to roads.
Right.
This is something you and I were having a mild disagreement on before we came on about you were for the a bill that was running through that would basically create an extra half cent sales tax to pay for fixing roads in the Pima County region. I am not.
Okay.
So explain why you think, you know, why you would go for an extra tax on top of the existing RTA half cent to fix roads.
Thank you very much for asking that. So look, I think where we find common ground is our roads are terrible, right? In Southern Arizona and throughout the state, Pima County and other counties throughout the state are not getting its fair share of tax revenue. Because of how largely unincorporated Pima County is. So that's there's the HERF. So looking at ways in which to leverage this, we've had lawmakers try to revisit the HERF policy that's outdated. Is it sustainable? We've got electronic vehicles and you know, so clean energy that's going to that's not leveraging that gas tax. So what can we do in Pima County? And this was I felt that this was one viable option because what other options are we having?
Gary Davidson, if you're listening, I'm going to send Brendan to you. You're going to go take Taylor Davidson's dad, Gary, out for lunch. And he's going to give you some information about the reality of roads, and you will never say what you just said to me again. All right?
I'm all in. Let's go.
You are only hearing one half of the story.
All right.
So, Mr. Collaborator, I'm going to have you collaborate with Gary Davidson, and it'll be good for you.
Thank you.
Now, I need to know a very important question. Top three locally owned restaurants that you like to go to. We asked this of all our debuters.
Thank you very much. Union is one. I think what Grant Kruger is going through over at the St. Philip's Plaza, you know, we need to support locally owned businesses. Another one, Michelangelo's near my home. Very big fan of that. It's been a...
What are you getting at Michelangelo's? I haven't been there for a while. I know he's got a new, you know, he's got like a new look on the front. What's going on over there?
So at Michelangelo's, I like to get the Chiappino, and you have to order that specially. It's fantastic. It's just, I mean...
So this is the tomato broth fish stew is what we're talking about.
Right, they got Chiappino, and they've got, their seafood dishes are just extraordinary over there, and big fan. And then the last one is a colleague that I went to high school with, Nate Aries, Noble Hops. I'm sorry, not Noble. Noble Hops is another one, but...
Beto.
The breakfast.
Tell me where.
Oh, gosh. Between Grant and Glenn off of Campbell. Prep and Pastry.
Oh, sure.
So, yeah.
Those are all. What do you like getting at Prep and Pastry?
Prep and Pastry, I like the duck confit.
First concert you ever went to?
Oh, goodness. Journey.
Really? What year?
Journey. Don't stop believing, dude.
Oh, gosh. It was, I think it was around 2003. I worked in local radio at the time it was Citadel Broadcasting.
Sure.
And Ed, by the way, my father, Tim Lyons, who happened to work there, he says hello as well.
Radio guy.
But
hey,
yes.
Tim Lyons. So, yeah. Good guy.
What'd you do at Citadel?
I was promotions.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Was Mr. Sloan owned it?
Yep. At the time.
One of our Hall of Fame guests, Jimmy Sloan.
Absolutely.
So, and best concert?
Oh, gosh. Best concert. Probably be Garth Brooks.
Okay. Where was that at?
I was up in Phoenix.
So. Very cool.
But before we tangent and I get off the show, I want to say this.
You got about 28 seconds.
Is that this race is so much bigger than myself. You've got 29 Democrats and 31 Republicans in the state house. If Democrats pick up two seats, then that we would not have that rainy day surplus that we had prior to COVID. It is because of our pro-business legislators up there. And you know, if we lose that, we're going to see an increase in taxes. We're going to see an increase in business regulation. And I want to do everything I can to support our local businesses.
All right. It's Lyons, Lyons, number4az.com. He's running traditional. So if you'd like to support, donate, volunteer, that's the place to go.
And please, please get out and vote for a vote down ticket. Don't just vote for your presidential and congressional race. Vote down ticket, please.
All right, Brendan, thanks for a fun and varied interview, as we like to say.
Thank you so much, Christopher.
We'll see you again. All right, we'll see you on Monday. If you missed anything, KVOI.com. Thanks for my great cast of substitute hosts while I was gone between McCluskey, Shelley Keis, National Committeeman Bruce Ash, and Matt Neely. We'll see you tomorrow. Monday. Grover Norquist, Steve McEwen on Redistricting, Ken LaCourte on HCG, HCQ Ed. Censorship.
Yes.
And then Election Day Candidate Palooza on Tuesday. Wake up. Zach is coming up with that beautiful beard. Wake up.